Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Monday show of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host today, Steve Fizz. How lucky is everyone listening this week? No Jono. So the information will be more accurate, the takes less scorching hot, and we'll all just have a hell of a lot better time. So that means there's only one man to introduce. Welcome to you, Statesman.
And aren't I having a fantastic weekend? First and foremost, we go to do the pod and Jono's not there, which just makes me happy each and every time he disappears. And secondly, my magnificent midfield has hit their straps this weekend. Just ton after ton after ton. It's absolutely beautiful. And right now, right at the end of the Fremantle game, it's Lockie Neal racking them up. So very happy camper. I think I'm going to have not only a win in every of my draft leagues, but I think I'm pretty much going to be the highest scorer in all of them too. So I'm up and about.
Very good, mate. You must have taken some different medicine to me because things could not have gone much worse for my team. none of the tips were going very well. I can't imagine more outsiders happening in one week than what's gone on this week. It's been absolute carnage, but a lot of injuries. It all started on Friday night, tragically. Adam Kennedy going down with a very serious knee injury. Couldn't have been much worse. North Melbourne, Corey Wagner injured at the start of the game. Daniel Wells, we were getting told all week from Bucks he wasn't going to get rested, and then in the most Daniel Wells fashion of all time, he was a laid out. And interesting, the smoke and mirror show from Chris Scott with late teams announced, and then Sam Manigola, as predicted all week, was a late in. Very interesting stuff. What do you make of that, Statesman, the gamesmanship?
Yeah, it's very interesting, but I suppose it all depends on the conditions of each match as well. But it's interesting that it was pretty clearly leaked that Manigola was going to play. So it's an interesting move. So if you're playing Ducks and Drakes, but you do what everyone thinks you're going to do, it's not Duck and Drakes, is it?
Well, I guess not. It's I guess it's interesting who gets left out. It was Lockie Henderson for the Cats who was left out. And also, we saw today Mundy copping a bit of a knock. Ollie Wines copped a knock in his match. I reckon he'll probably have scans on that, because watching that match, I had Ollie Wines as my captain in one of my leagues, and he had no lateral movement after that knock. He was really iffy around the contest. They took him out of the centre bounces. A lot of straight, like he played out the match, actually had pretty good game time for him, but it was just straight line running, really. So I'm interested to see if he makes the big trip over to China this week.
And he had a magnificent start to the season. I think he was averaging in the 110s over the first four rounds. But the last 3 weeks, his scoring has been dropping. So I don't know if he's actually been carrying something going into those games.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And they took him out of the midfield. Like, it was really noticeable when the game was there to be won in the last quarter. He often wasn't starting in the centre, and I can't imagine you wouldn't have one of your prime movers not starting in the centre if he was ticking all the boxes.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. I think they've got a couple of injury concerns, because Robbie Gray didn't look that crash up this weekend as well, so obviously he was still carrying that groin.
Yeah, just back to earth a little bit, but West Coast seem to enjoy playing on that ground as much as everyone thinks they're home track favourites. Certainly getting it done in South Australia. But as always, Monday is our waivers show, where we talk about who you're looking to pick up this week off your waiver claims. Statesman, who have you got for us this week?
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. But this one's in the Sinclair variety. They do have plenty of Jacks at St Kilda. But this one's come in for the last 2 weeks. He's very clean ball carrier. He actually picks it up at great pace. So I think they're actually looking for that smooth transition outside, while they've put all the grunt on the inside, and Kobe Stevens has been a great addition inside for them, and Jack Steele's rotating there as well, they're putting all the class around, and that's where Jack Sinclair comes in. He's got good disposal and great scoring power. Owned by only 36% in his two games that he's played, he's been an 80 and a ton for an average of 94, and looks like he's in that position to stay. And of course, they keep playing like they did on Friday night, and I think you'll find that the team that they've got at the moment, besides any injuries or suspensions, that they'll be keeping that team together.
Yeah, Lister is a forward, and they got a couple of plus matchups coming, like that one. What about Kobe Stevens? Is he going to get rubbed out?
Yeah, there's a lot of debate about this one, but look, I'm unsure how to read that. I think it's one of those borderlines where it might be a fine or it might be a one-weeker. So I'm probably hitting that the match review panel will probably give him a $1,500 fine.
Yep, fair enough.
Marco?
Polo. It starts with a P.
It starts with a P. Marco Polo. Owned by 14%, scored 106 in his first game back. He does have a good history of scoring. In 2015, he averaged 75 as a defender, only as a 20-year-old. Now 22, yes, he had a bit of a shocking run with injuries last year, but he's actually showed that form before, so I reckon Paparone is in that side for good now, and he's going to score quite well. As I said, a ton on his first game, so I think he should average around about that 80, and I think that's quite good value for a defender.
Yeah, we were really high. Well, I was really high on Paparone last year, but he, yeah, like you said, with the injuries and whatnot, with him coming in playing pretty well, we know he's been a good player and a defender historically as well. Sam Mays looked really settled off half back. What do you think that mix is going to look like when Cutler returns?
Yeah, it's very interesting because probably one of them is going to miss out, or at least someone's going to do a close down role rather than the attacking role. Unsure how to read that at the moment, but if I was to actually pick anyone, I actually think it'll be Cutler and Marco Polo that get the running free roles, which could hurt Sam May's scoring ability. But let's see, they might just be having the three rotate, so they're actually getting the most run they possibly can out of it. So one stays closed down, staying on their opponents, the other two get freed up, and then you just keep rotating who gets freed up. What it might do is just drop the ceiling of those three down a little bit.
Interesting. Who else you got?
Next up is Kane Lambert, a forward for Richmond, owned by 34%, averaging over 80s in his last five games, and seems to have a really good role. My only trouble with Kane Lambert is he's shown this scoring potential before, but then out of nowhere, a 23 or a 34 will pop up in his scoring mix. But I think that's more his role. So if he gets... they feel that there's a dangerous forward in the opposition or a quick winger, then they might actually give him a close-down role. But I think Richmond are an attacking team now, and I think that his role should be freed up the majority of time. So he's the type of player, when Richmond have got the Friday, you want him on the emergency bench, because if he does turn up, you want to use that score.
What? I'm really interested with Richmond because they're playing fantastic football, obviously, this year as opposed to the chip style we've seen. But their dream team scores are really, really low. Even when they smoked Brisbane earlier in the year, I find these guys outside of the studs pretty unreliable.
Yeah, you're spot on the mark. And it just depends on what their role is on each and every week. And that's what happens, unfortunately, with your bottom end of the list. And everyone that's got owns a draft team would know that feeling, because your M6 and 7 can all of a sudden get a closed down role in defence, and all of a sudden, instead of getting those tons for you, they're pumping out a 50 or 60. Next up, and I will say, this is a waiver wire for the next 2 weeks, because I actually wouldn't want this guy on my field week in, week out. But for the next 2 weeks, Western Bulldogs have Friday night games, and therefore you can use the emergency loophole. This player is Clay Smith, 48% owned. Although Head can be up and down with his scores, he can pump out a big one, as he did on the weekend, a nice 85, which is quite possible that you could use that score through the loophole and actually take away one of your risky forwards off the ground. So Clay Smith is quite worthwhile if you've got a bit of couple of shaky forwards. Chuck him on the emergency position for the forwards for the next 2 weeks while they've got the Friday night games, and there might be one out of those two scores worthwhile in taking. What's your thoughts on that plan?
Yeah, don't mind it at all. Absolutely. In fact, I would say, and you know, Clay Smith's interesting because he can build his scores through tackles as well as goals, so he's a really handy player. But one thing, injury we didn't touch on at the start, Josh Dunkley looked to pop his shoulder out. He might miss some time. Do you think Mitch Wallace is going to come back in?
Yeah, I think he's the man that'll come into that role.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like the I like the loophole move. That's that makes a lot of sense.
This one's a bit risky, but I think it's a 1 week appointment. But it is something we should keep our minds open, especially for the keeper leagues. And that's Tim O'Brien. The Hawks have found one here. He's a marking machine. Took 10 grabs today against the right opponent. He'll score well. Scored 91 this week. He's up against Brisbane next week. So that could be a real big scoring option for him. So Tim O'Brien, 1 week appointment, but certainly have a look at him in your keeper because he has got great marking ability, and that means your plus sixes and your plus 12s.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I won't say last but not least, because I should quickly mention Peter Wright as well is available on the waivers. I believe he's a good option, but again, being those key position players, they're not your number one priorities when it comes to fantasy, but he still is worthwhile, especially on your emergencies. The next one is a player who's hitting some great form. I get a little bit concerned about this midfield mix because you don't know what's going to happen on a weekly basis. But Alex Sexton is finding really good form. Gold Coast midfielder, and he seems to have a good role right now. I don't trust Gold Coast with their roles, but he seems to have a good one. Four scores over 80 in the last 5 weeks. So as your emergency midfielder or even your M7, I think that is quite worthwhile. Over a ton this week, he's only owned by 30%. A few of you are starting to get through injuries, suspensions, and Alex Sexton pumping out 80 for you as your M7 for a 2 week cover is quite worthwhile. That's my waivers.
Yeah, absolutely. They're certainly worthwhile numbers. I hope he doesn't have any respiratory problems because it sounds like that's what's going to cross you off the list to China.
Yes.
Okay, just before I get into my waivers, just when we're talking about, Stace was mentioning the percentages, we use 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy as our rule. Look, if you're in a shallower league, you might have a lot better options on your waiver wire, but we use this because we feel like a lot of leagues are in the 22 players per team in a 10-team league situation, and these are the guys you're looking at. Also, I couldn't actually log into Ultimate Footy, so I've got no idea what the percentages on these guys are. So if they're over 65, kick my butt. I'm sorry. So I'm just working off what I feel is probably going to be low owned. I'm going to start things off with Cam Pedersen. He was pretty lowly owned last week. List as a forward. I'm sure his ownership shot right up this week, but he's shown that he's going to be a valuable fantasy asset whilst he's in the number one ruck role. Scored a pretty nice score again this week, backing up his good form against Hawthorn. Nathan Wilson, I know he was low owned, playing Collingwood this week. Defender for GWS, we know what defenders are doing against Collingwood. They did it again this week. Just a little bit of a query over his health, because he did cop a pretty heavy knock in the Friday night match. Has got a bit of time to recover, so if he comes up, I really like his runoff halfback, especially with Kennedy being injured. Another defender, Luke McDonald for North Melbourne. The North defence is just particularly well organised. Luke is putting it together, man, especially for Supercoach. The efficiency's up. love the work of North playing against the Swans, and we defenders have scored pretty well against the Swans in recent times. Kanye Turner, a forward against the Swans this week. No idea what his ownership is. The small forwards are scoring well against the Swans. And North Melbourne, man, you've got to think they're up and about. I know Sydney got the biscuits against Brisbane this week, but I still like a small forward. I'm sure he's lowly owned. And I'm just going to throw out Richmond players. We did speak about them being lowly owned for Dream Team, but they're playing Fremantle in the early game at the MCG. That's usually spelt a bit of trouble for Fremantle, especially like the fading the Western Australia teams in the 1 o'clock matches at the G. So sorry for not having a very amazing list this week, but I don't know why I couldn't log in. I couldn't even see my victory over Jono.
Yes, I was looking at that game and was hoping for a nil or draw, but unfortunately looks like you've sneaked on top. But just to clarify, I had a quick look at the percentages, mate. You only included 171% and 179%. The others fit into your criteria, but Richmond players is pretty broad.
Well, that was good. That was a loophole.
So all the listeners are now running around seeing if they can pick up Dusty Martin sitting on their waiver wire, and they're going to be quite disappointed.
Yeah, maybe leave Dion Prestia alone, though.
Yeah, that's a fair call. Actually, do we know whether Dion is actually going to come back?
We don't know much.
Okay. That's fair.
I was actually talking, I guess we've had on the show before, our good mate Costa, very massive, massive Richmond supporter. He's been throwing so much shade on Prestia and said if they weren't winning, the recruitment of him and Caddy, he can't believe that the recruitment of Prestia and Caddy is gone without scrutiny of the media. I'll put it that way.
Very interesting.
Because they have not done much, quite frankly.
No, but I think it, for Caddy, I think it's more been a role thing. I think Prestia has certainly had the right amount of time in the midfield to show his wares, and I think a bit of that is actually probably still carrying injuries from his Gold Coast days.
Yeah, I don't think Caddy's been as bad as everyone seems to think. But on to the matches. Quick review of our matches that we talk about. It all started on Friday night with the GWS Giants getting beaten by the Saints. And, man, it was just speed. They were just blown off the park with speed. They turned the ball over. Did cop a lot of frees against, I noticed, as well. They were a man down for basically the entire match. And Nathan Wilson also did miss quite a bit of time copying a knock. But very, very even performances across the top. No one topped the 116 mark with Tom Scully doing the business in Dream Team. Mumford was really beaten for mine in the ruck contest by Longer. He was always second to the ball. I would have thought he would have actually scored pretty well in this match, but not to be. Didn't look like he was getting much jump. I know he's not a big leaper, but he was getting virtually nil, so he didn't do particularly well in that matchup. Stevie J, just slow, man. Just slow. That's all there is to say. Brett Deledio's calf can't heal fast enough, and I got to think that team would be looking at Toby Green in the stands and thinking, buddy, where the hell were you? But one thing I was interested in, Staseman, was seeing the St Kilda players get around Josh Kelly after the match and been pretty happy to him, being pretty nice, giving him a little shoulder massage, a little pat on the bum. Interesting there.
He's getting a lot of treatment like that this year. Quite ironic.
Yeah, I think he might be able to find himself a few steak dinners at the end of the year if you know what I mean. But
plays the cards right. That's absolutely it. Get the most out of it while you can. Wanted man.
That's it. But on the St Kilda side, man, three of the Jacks were five Jacks. Jesus Christ. Jack Stephen, yep. Man, he was unbelievable. A couple snags.
Well, name me a bad Jack on the weekend.
I had a jack. I had a jack on the golf course. It didn't really make feel too good.
That'd be one.
Oh, go on, buddy. Talk up your boy.
No. I'm quite honestly, all jacks were absolutely fantastic. In fact, the lowest jack was Jack Steele. And Jack Steele actually had a reduced time in the midfield, which is actually all about Kobe Stephens. So you actually own Jack Steele. Maybe it's a time to trade out unless you're in a keeper. Because I think while Kobe Stephens is playing for St Kilda and playing in the seniors, he's going to take a fair bit of Jack Steele's time in the guts. And I think they've actually found the right amount of time for both of them now, and I think that's going to hamper Jack scoring. Jack Steele.
What happens when David Armitage gets fit?
Well, that's actually more of a question for David Armitage, because I can't see him knocking either of those two over.
Really? That's a big call.
At the moment. Well, is Armitage in the future for them?
Probably not, but he's probably in the right now. Does Steele move forward?
I still needs to be part of that midfield group because he's the leading pressure act player for St Kilda.
Hmm.
So he needs to be through it, but what they're probably showing right now, the best rotation is for him and Kobe Stephens to share 60-40.
I'm going to be real interested to see what that they do with that because I think sometimes you can hurt the fabric of your team when you throw in the recruits and push out a guy who's still doing well, who's born and bred at the club. That might not make a lot of sense, but we'll get to that later in a specific team. But
Kobe Stephens was the one that's come in late. So if anyone's going to go, I think it's him for Armitage. But I actually think he's giving a little bit more than Armitage does.
Oh, I'm not a big Armitage fan. I'm just saying I think it's going to be a really interesting selection committee meetings. So, but yeah, Jack Billings was massive. I'd be very happy with that. Blake Akers was huge. We're big fans of Blake Akers. Yeah. I know he's got all the tricks in the trade, but just a matter of him putting it together over four quarters and even weeks on end with that. I thought Jade Gresham had a really quiet game and really stepped up when it counted, slotting some goals at the end. And I like Darren Minchington, man. Much like Matty Wright at Carlton, just a blue-collar guy, does his role. And he was good. And man, we're all over it. Jimmy Webster.
Oh, yes.
We were all over it, man. The halfbacks for St Kilda. Jimmy Webster, Dylan Robinson. I know you can't pick up Dylan Robinson. All the guys off halfback, that's where the run came from against GWS. They are very Collingwood-like in that you can run it out off them. The forward pressure isn't there, especially with Toby Green gone.
And he's still available in some leagues. 69% own Jimmy Webster. Now, in my leagues, he's gone.
Yeah.
Every single one of them, he is gone and worthwhile. And this is where St Kilda have got it right, because you mentioned probably three or four small forwards. And there's a couple of them actually double up as midfield forwards. And they're the type of Jack Billings and also Blake Akers. And I think Blake Akers is the leader of that, is being the midfield forward type. They have actually got the balance right with those two really hard nuts, the bit of class in Jack Stephens in the guts, because he mixes inside and outside football. And then they've got the class that surround them all. And finally, they've got it right. And Jimmy Webster was almost the final little piece of the puzzle, because you've got your two key backs, which they recruited this year, which has shorn them up, and you've got Robertson and Webster now as your running defenders. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. St Kilda, although they still need a bit of internal growth, they're finals bound, and they're in for a nice, bright future for the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's going to be handy pick, having those two first-round picks and about $1.5 million in salary cap. Good luck. Dan, the only downside to the game is Nick Riewoldt. Didn't really score particularly well. Didn't really look great either, to be honest, Statesman.
Yes, would have been nice a couple of weeks ago, but that's fine.
Yeah, and if you do want to follow
not
the show...
Not salty at all.
Not salty at all. Nothing. Oh, we'll get to that. If you do like the show and you want to follow us, we're on social media. We're on Twitter, at The Draft Doctors. We're on Facebook. You can find us. We've got the website, www.thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got articles going up each week. The Dozen Deals transaction column is a big hit. A couple of parody articles, which some have hit, some have not hit. perfectly honest, but we're on iTunes. We love it if you rate and review. Takes a couple minutes, really helps out the show. We're on SoundCloud. You can stream us there and on Stitcher as well. But on to the next match, buddy. That was Adelaide and North Melbourne, and there was a team that was rather shell-shocked.
There absolutely was. Now, I will say to the listeners that this week I did just over 1,000 kilometres in the car this weekend, going from one event to another, and therefore most of my football knowledge was from listening to grandstand. So obviously being a Hobartian, I should have been down there, but I was actually driving around the rest of Tasmania. What I couldn't believe was the start. Three goals, nice and early, thinking, oh, geez, they're going to really kick on here, Adelaide, and take the chance and show North Melbourne an absolute belting after being shown up nice and early. But it just continued. And it was the commentators going, what is going on here? And it ended up being 10 goals to no score. That was the scoreline at quarter time. Remarkable. Obviously, we know they had some breeze, but it wasn't a 10-goal wind. It was probably a 4-5. But what happens is that momentum thing in footy, and just everything went right. For the Crows, there wasn't too many that got on the scoring for us. Thankfully, my midfielder, Matt Crouch, did with 116. And seems to be, which is quite remarkable, his scoring when Brad Crouch plays is quite dramatically different from when he doesn't. So as soon as Brother's there, he feels comfortable. I'm happy and off I go. 116 and only 97 with Supercoach. Obviously, we're never going to get big scores in Supercoach for Adelaide in this game. Richard Douglas and Rory Laird were the only other two that turned up in AFL fantasy scoring with 108 and 102 for Rory Laird, who got put into the midfield, which is quite interesting. So obviously they identified there was an area they were lacking in, and that was the midfield. And obviously Rory Sloane, who last week was the biggest scorer in AFL fantasy for the season, actually got tagged out of it by Sam Gibson, and only scoring a 65 in AFL fantasy and 80 in Supercoach. So quite incredible that North Melbourne, who were sitting where they were, 15th or 16th on the ladder, beating the team on top of the ladder, but not beating them, trouncing them. And the scoreline pretty much didn't change from that quarter time score, and Adelaide just never recovered.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, it was really interesting because we were looking at the line betting in this game. It was six goals. And we looked at the teams on paper, and they actually matched up pretty nicely on them. But, man, the star of the show was Jared Waite up forward. 150. Your boy, Jared Waite, Statesman.
Hey, that's why I never mentioned him.
150 Dream Team, 190 Supercoach with six snags. Quite unbelievable. He's played really well. He played really well last year. He's doing well this year. I really think North were getting the wrong end of the stick. They were a very well-organized team, and the results weren't going their way. But credit to them, they got this one. Big Ben Cunnington, 13 clearances. My goodness, he is just a new man this year, apparently, with 5 kilos lost or whatever he lost in the offseason. 112 Dream Team, 129 Supercoach. Scotty Thompson scored pretty well. And those who picked up Mason Wood, who were right on as soon as he was in the side, 127, 117. He has got all the tricks in the trade. Speed, Speed, endurance, and size, you can't ask for any more than that. I bet he goes pretty nicely in the clubs on the weekend as well. Goldie with a nice match. Luke McDonald, who we mentioned, turned up in Supercoach, doing all the right things. And here's the amazing thing. They were down a rotation the whole match with Wagner going off early. Quite unbelievable. And got 70 clangers off Adelaide. I can't imagine Adelaide would have used the ball much worse than that in a long time. The only downside, probably, what was it? I mean, Marley Williams was down a little bit on what he's been scoring recently, but really just great signs from them. And
I will say that there was probably one thing wrong with Jared Waite's game. He almost had the complete game. He scored his 156 goals and his 190 in Supercoach, but he didn't get reported and didn't get injured, so it wasn't quite his complete game.
My goodness, he's due. He's due. Whoever's playing next week, they're going to cop something. But yeah, onto the blockbuster, the marquee rivalry match, the 125th. Anniversary for Collingwood, and they continued their run of losing these anniversary matchups against the Carlton Blues. Obviously, the Carlton fans be up and about. They were awesome, man. Playing spoiler to the Magpies, Sour Eddie. And they just won the hard ball, man. They won the hard ball, and they just launched off halfback. Collingwood continue to turn the ball over and going inside 50, and when they do get it in there, they kick behinds and out of bounds on the full, but the launch from Doc and Cripps and Caleb Marchbank with a massive score as well was quite amazing. Cruiser, Sam Petrevski-Seaton. Wow. What an amazing game from him. 134 Supercoach, 2 goals and 21 touches. Unbelievable. Mark Murphy continued his great form. Collingwood obviously didn't think he was worth tagging despite his 30 touches. Unbelievable they didn't go to him. Paddy Cripps, tons, not amazing, but tons, and you like that. Nick Graham scored well, listed as a forward, certainly if you, if he's available in your league, he's probably worth a look. Not sure if he will be.
Will he stay in this side?
Well, I think if you keep winning and you keep playing good football, he probably will, but he's probably one of the first to go.
Right.
I would have thought, but, you know, there's probably a few on that block, him and Dale Thomas and that, but who's going to...
Billy Smets?
I don't like Billy Smets at all. I can't believe he gets a game, to be honest. What's he done? He's just sort of... He's always going to be one of the, you know, 25th to 30th players on your list, isn't he?
He had class as a junior, and he's been living off that for quite a while.
Yeah, he hasn't done... He never did much at Geelong. You get his chance, and I mean, what do? You get your chance. It's hard to shine in a good team like that, but yeah, I don't know. I always thought he was a bit more of a defender than a forward, but
yeah, I agree. What about Mason Cox? Is he going to remain in that team and keep Grundy scores down?
You'd hope not, because he doesn't offer much, does he?
No.
I
don't know there are other solutions. Obviously, they're looking for that extra tall forward.
Well, but he offers no pressure. At least if you play Jesse White, he offers some pressure. You know, Mason Cox, does he tackle? It says he's laid 5, but I wouldn't have thought he had... He's not built on speed. He's not going to chase anyone down. I don't understand it at all. It's just killing Grundy. I mean, Grundy scores are pathetic, really, now. And... anyway, yeah, I guess onto the Collingwood side of the ball. Ben Reid was amazing. Taylor Adams continued to play very, very well. Pendlebury was really held well most of the day. He sort of junked it up a little bit in the last quarter. Braden Maynard flew the flag for Collingwood as much as he could. But this is what I wanted to talk about, Staceman. This is maybe a hot take, but I'm starting to see that this is a team that's not going to work for each other. That there's guys in this club who are going to look at the next guy and say, not you. And I'll tell you why, because they've brought in all these free agents that don't have any respect. They're not players you would have respected when they walked in, and they're taking someone else who's working hard spot. And I'm talking about your Jesse Whites, your Levi Greenwood, who was on a big contract when he came, Travis Varco, who has been good since going to Collingwood, but wasn't really spoken about particularly highly going in, Jeremy Howe, who was much the same, Adam Treloar, who massive amount they gave up to get him, and I don't think they had strong enough leadership to back it up. Like, you look at Hawthorn, and they've brought in free agents. They've brought in guys like Burgoyne, who had respect, and all this sort of thing, Brian Lake, Josh Gibson. But they had the strong leadership core to bring it up. And I kind of wonder where they're going to be now as well, because they've pushed out some of this leadership and brought in these high-quality or high-priced free agents at the very least. And I kind of wonder about Collingwood, where they're going to be, because they've pushed aside the ones that they were going to develop themselves and just brought in these guys. Chris Mayne, another one. They're giving him a big fat contract. You don't think the guys at the club see that?
I think at the end of the day, what it boils down to is club culture is based around the people within and how much leadership they have. I think who's available on a yearly basis is more based on what other clubs don't want to protect or keep. Now, you will have the occasional absolute star who has wonderful leadership, wonderful character, that wants to relocate back home. And that'll be a Chris Judd. It will be a Patrick Dangerfield. But most of them are actually on the outer at their club. So their club actually is... okay, this is not perfect. If they've got great culture, they've got great leadership, and they've got great ownership of what's happening in their own club, they're actually not leaving. Does that make sense? And I think what they've done is brought in people with talent, but without that leadership culture and ownership. It doesn't mean they're not good footballers. But I don't think so many would have left their clubs if they had all that entrenched in them.
Yeah, I think when you bring in a guy and you just give them spots, that hurts your club. Like, if you're bringing in guys who are grinders or just down and dirty workers, or you're bringing in young guys because they need an opportunity, I think that's a little bit different. Or you're bringing in an established star who everyone respects, a la your Sean Burgoynes, your Chris Judds, those sort of things. But I think when you bring in these guys who aren't in the best, say, 15 on their other club's list, you give them a big fat paycheck, you give them games straight off the bat, they don't perform, I reckon that's really bad for your team, unless you just stack to the brim with talent, which Collingwood aren't. But they don't have that strong leadership either.
No, it's fair enough, and it's an interesting thought process. It's just quite amazing to me that they can play outstanding footy sometimes. And on a back of a 5-day break after Anzac Day footy, they played magnificently well to beat Geelong, which is just amazing that there's a switch on and a switch off.
But I think that's part of it. Like, you can turn up when you want, but then when the going gets tough and you look at someone and he doesn't do his thing, and you look at someone else and they don't do their thing, and I just really worry about Collingwood, man, and where they're going in the future. I don't like the smell of it at all.
Yep.
And if it doesn't get fixed, it's going to be a long time to rebuild, because they have thrown draft picks away over the last couple of years to get in these guys.
Yeah, very true. And I reckon my pick is Jack Crisp is out next week for Daniel Wells.
Yeah, well, you know, what's he done wrong? He's one of those guys, young guy, came in, grinded, done nothing wrong. And they're going to give him away for a big fat paycheck who's not ever on the park.
Well, he was another one that came in from another club. He came in for Brisbane. He was part of the Beams deal. But I just think he made so many crucial errors at the wrong time on the weekend. Hence, even though he got a fair bit of the footy, his Supercoach score was only 40.
Well, we will see.
Interesting. Next game.
West Coast Eagles, buddy. They got the chocolates.
They certainly did. And my great man, Elliot Champion, was another great score this week, 124. That half back roll has been absolutely superb. The only times he hasn't turned up this year is when West Coast have been struggling a little bit and they start flirting with his position, sending him up forward, sending him in the midfield. It's as simple. He's a gun, halfback flanker. Chuck him there and he's going to be creative and actually hit the scoreboard as well. So 124 for Elliott, 125 in Supercoach. Luke Shuey continuing his great form with 118. Mark Lacroix, not a lot of possessions, but four goals, got him a score of 92. Prittis, who I marked down, will easy turn it up for you as the captain. Sorry, peeps. He only got 84, but did get his 99 in the Supercoach. There really wasn't too much else in their scoring point of view. There was only two players that actually turned up in AFL Fantasy and only one in Supercoach, which is quite incredible for a tight victory.
Yeah. Is that just coming down to play style?
Yeah, it certainly could. I mean, their clanger list was pretty high. That might have had something to do with it. And Jonathan Giles had a fantastic day out. 18 hit-outs, and he had a total of four possessions, but he had eight clangers,
whoops,
would you believe?
Oh.
Yes. That's because they call the freeze against as clangers. So his five added up. So he had a total of four possessions. Three of them were clangers. And also his five free kicks against for a total Supercoach score of 17. Well done, Jonathan Giles.
Yeah, just looking at the Eagles, they didn't register 100 marks or 60 tackles. So if you can't build your score through those figures, it's going to be hard. Like, Prittis only had three. That's like three below his average.
Yeah, and it's quite incredible. They won the game where you had a side that was working really hard in Port Adelaide, and you can go through their scores, but quite a few tons in that team.
Yeah, 789 Dream Team points as a team for Port Adelaide, which is pretty high. You'd usually associate that with a nice win, but they lost by 10 points. Pretty inaccurate kicking, I guess they'd say it would cost the game for them, but a couple of their stars were really down. Robbie Gray was just nowhere to be seen. Five clangers from his 15 touches.
Wow.
92% time on ground as well, so he was out there, but nothing happened for Robbie. He even got moved into the middle in the last quarter. Still couldn't really get his hands on it. As I mentioned earlier, Ollie Wines was hurt early in the knee, and they were doing a lot of lateral tests on him. He didn't look great to me. I wouldn't be surprised if he did get scans during the week, as I mentioned, but he did play 83% of the game. He was taken out of the midfield for a good chunk of that, only the 20 touches, but did have 10 contested touches. The big scores, Paddy Ryder was absolutely dominant in the ruck with 42 hit-outs and a goal. Gave you 130s in both forms. Charlie Dixon's been massive, three snags, a lot of contested marks, 10 marks all up, and a lot of those were contested. 124 Dream Team, 135 Supercoach. Brad Ebert, rocking the baby swag, the new dad, continues on with his great form. And the Chad played basically pure mid in this match. He was fantastic with his 132 Dream Team and 101 Supercoach. You'd certainly be loving having him in your team. Don't know if it continues, but hey, whilst he's there, he's showing he's going to score well. And Ollie Wines down. Travis Boak, really ordinary Supercoach score. Jasper Pittard gave him great score as a defender. Hamish Hartlett just plodding along. That's about it for the Port Power. They'd be ruining the chances it got away before they fly off and have a few bowls of fried rice.
Absolutely. And moving on to the next game, Western Bulldogs, which I'll cover for Jono. I didn't get to see much of this game, but Lockie Hunter turned around his form in their nice tight victory. 131 Dream Team, 126 Supercoach. Luke Dalhouse just keeps on performing well, and actually I think he must be close to being the number one forward now. Lukey, 115 AFL Fantasy and 101 Supercoach. Marcus Bontempelli, absolutely superb as always, 113 and 128. Robert Murphy, the previous skipper, scored a ton in AFL Fantasy, just 87 in Supercoach. Suckley, McRae, Boyd, which is a great form. Looks like that ruck role is best suited to him, especially if they bring one of those key forwards back. No Redpath kicks six in the reserves this week, and obviously Travis Cloak's out for another 2 or 3 weeks with injury. Johannesson back to a little bit of form. He's been underperforming in recent times, 86 and 106. I think that's all to note. Obviously, both Stringer and Dunkley, we'll find out more about their injuries. I do hear that Stringer thought he had an ACL, but I think it's going to be a 4 week medial from the information I've received.
That's pretty lucky because it didn't look good at the time. On to the Richmond, and they'll rue this one, man. It really, after a hot start, they got caught up in the third quarter, as the Bulldogs will do, and they battled hard, but some low scores, as we've seen from the Tigers. They're not really a big scoring team, but man, did they get reamed by the umpires. Love focusing on the umpires, and certainly cost them a game. That one at the end was particularly strange, but that's how it is. A lot of turnovers after halftime. But they just got beaten by pace, and Richmond have been playing fantastically fast, but the rebound from the Dogs was quite fantastic after half-time. Jack Riewoldt was sensational with 4 goals, I thought. And the only player to turn up in both forms of fantasy was Sean Grigg, who 29 touches and a goal. Basher Hooley got the ton in Supercoach, and Trent Cotchin also got the ton in Supercoach despite only having 20 touches. But we're down Nick Vlosten for a lot of the match as well, one of their key cogs in defence. And the debut of Ivan Soldo was rucking against Lynn Jong at some points, which was pretty... we would have felt that was pretty good. Certainly would have had harder matchups in the VFL. But Josh Caddy finally got some midfield time, Statesman, and he was rocking it out at quarter time.
Yeah, he was. Got a huge 88, which I'm still impressed with, because anything over 40 is great for Josh Caddy.
Yeah, that's got to lift his average up to like 62 or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, something like that. It's a bit harsh.
And the other match on Saturday night was Gold Coast and Geelong.
And this boy made me very happy. Aaron Hall, after last week's pain with his... possible concussion, back in the team and performed extremely well. 156 in AFL Fantasy, a remarkable game with a super coach of 120. Jared Witts. Now, we've got to make the point that the Ruckman are starting to score very well against Geelong, and it was part of the game that ensured the Gold Coast actually were successful, winning by 4 goals. Jared Witts just took control of that ruck and absolutely magnificent effort with 121 and 115. Gary Ablett continued his good form. Some idiot at the beginning of the year told you not to draft him. Well, he's pumping out the big scores, being the top 10 scorers in the competition right now. 120, but only 83 in Supercoach. Matt Rosa, 120. Mickey Barlow, very slow to start, but started junk time in the last quarter to get 112. Thomas Lynch with 3 goals, 5. What could have been for him was a poor shooting at goal, 108 and 106. And as we talked about before, Alex Sexton with 104. It must be extremely disappointing for the Cats, undefeated after 4 rounds, and look like they're struggling a bit now, losing to both Gold Coast and Collingwood. Mitch Duncan performed well for them for 128. Dangerfield was good, but again, it was his scoring late that got the total up there, but it was all a little bit too late. Sam Meligola, our late in, performed well again. Actually, kicked 3 or 4 goals, if I remember correctly. There you go. 3 goals, 3 kicked. Zach Tui performing well, one of the best defenders in the competition. We thought he might be the one that had the hype, but a bit of a letdown. He is actually playing really good footy, Zach Tui, and probably the best defender. Andrew Mackie performing well again with 96. Joel Selwood's had a tough couple of weeks after his 175, only 93 this week. Aaron Black continued decent form for those that have gone on the roughy option, 73. And pretty disappointing, Mark Blickass, only 34. So he's had a couple of down weeks, Blickass. Only 7 hit outs, so I still don't think he's going to get his ruck status there, Steve. 27 to Reece Stanley, while Jared Witts just pumped out a nice 43.
They don't know what they want to do with that ruck situation, do they?
No, and they haven't been convinced for quite a while now. There's been something like 12 rucks on their list over the past 5 years.
Unbelievable. And what was the next match? Ah, Hawthorn and Melbourne.
Are well, I both... should go through Sydney and Brisbane first. Sydney Swans hit form, ladies and gentlemen. They're off that rotten duck. And didn't they start well? Magnificent effort by the Swans. It was like the Swans of old. Now, look at these names scoring well. Amazing. Dan Han, what a superstar that bloke is. I've been crying about him for 5 of the 6 weeks previously, but the man is back. Apparently he has OP. That's why he's been struggling. 115, 118. But we can't forget the 8 goals from Buddy Franklin. 133 scored, 160 super coach, not quite the 13 and the double ton, but I think that form's about to come. Isaac Heaney, third game, performing really well, 102 and 116 in super coach, although we'll say he was close to 80, if not over 80 at half time, so quite a slow second half. He did come off with a little bit hurt, I think, early in the third quarter. So I don't think he recovered too well from that, but he continued to play the game out, so it mustn't be too bad. Zach Jones is proving to be a magnificent defender in yearly program, 101, but super coach, 143 to Zach Jones. Incredible game for him. Lloyd, a little bit slower today, but he did junk it up late to get 99 for you. Luke Parker, 90. JPK was actually well held throughout the game tag by Robinson, and he only scored you a 58. For Brisbane Lions, they were a bit disappointing today. There were a few good players. I will say in fantasy, the king himself, the piglet, Tom Rockliffe, amazing with 167 and also scored 148 in Supercoach. Marco Polo gave us a ton, and Steph Martin gave us a ton as well. Dane Zorko just underneath, but not much else to write home about, Steve.
Yeah, I got a beef, man. I got a beef with Tom Rockliffe. It's not with Tom Rockliffe, but... I've been on Twitter today, Statesman. I've been on Twitter as usual. And the amount of backslapping going on from people for making Tom Rockliffe their captain, it's Tom Rockliffe. Like, get, just, you know what? Don't deal with it. It's like, who cares?
Steve, I'm just going to get a Twitter on now because I need to just make sure everyone knows that I had Tom Rockliffe as my captain in AFL Fantasy, which has put me up to the top 700. So a very smart decision by me, Steve.
Oh, what a must have racked your brain going into this match as to who you were going to...
It was a long thought process, Caddy or Rockliffe.
Yeah, I mean, amazing. It's like high-fiving yourself for choosing Dangerfield number one in your Supercoach draft. Well done. Well done to you. It's the sort of thing Jono would get on Facebook and give us a two-hour spiel about.
I would rather people being positive and talking about fantasy and draft games than racially vilifying someone, Steve. So don't get too upset. It's actually positive that people are being happy out there.
But they're not being happy. They're condemning anyone else who went another way. Oh, you went Zach Merritt. He got 130. You're a moron. No, you know, just... chill, man. Just chill. It's Tom Rockliffe. Jesus Christ. Who was he?
He's a great man.
If you've got him...
Your game.
Yeah, my game. My game that's Jono's game because he squibbed out on his responsibilities. Hope you join that airport run, Jono. All right, Melbourne and Hawthorn. This was actually a cracker. I watched this game. Really a fantastic game. Hawthorn snuck in at the end. Jared Roughead, man. Did he get a helping hand from the umpires on his way to four goals? One of the most undeserving tons I've ever seen in my life. I tipped the Demons, just if you can't tell. Ben McAvoy continues his amazing form. 53 hitouts on his way to 124 and 111. Remember when Ben McAvoy was a gun ruckman and Hawthorn recruited him and everyone said, and had a cry, and then Ben McAvoy did nothing for years? And then they changed the ruck rule, and suddenly he's a thing again. Who would have thought?
I spent all pre-season complaining about Hawthorn's theory of having a ruck and a forward that'll come in and share the ruck and therefore destroy ruck scores, and was really worried what was going to happen with Steph Martin. Well, look, Steph Martin's doing it on his own, and Hawthorn had now gone to a one-ruck model because the other option is so scary, being Ty Vickery.
Absolutely. That is a it's a worrying thing. Tom Mitchell continues to pig it up in your dream team scoring. 12 tackles. What an amazing effort. But continuing to hack it up. So in Supercoach, his score was 30 points less at 108. Isaac Smith played a ripper, kicked one of the ceiling goals, I guess you'd say. 115 Dream Team, 107 Supercoach. Sean Burgoyne was quite good. Statesman, winding back the clock, spending a fair bit of time on half-forward flank. Ryan Burton.
What's his average this year? Is he just gone above Josh Caddy's with his 63, maybe?
Probably in the same boat, but... obviously, you spent a fifth-round pick on one of them and an eighth-round pick on another. Ryan Burton was quite good off. Ryan Burton was quite good off half-back. 91% disposal efficiency. Well done, sir. Jack Gunston, very down in your dream team formats with 58 and 82 Supercoach. Luke Hodge was fine. Your boy Timmy O'Brien with 95. A lot of marks. And a couple goals, so well done to him. Certainly playing Brisbane next week. We'll have a look at that. Cyril Rioli, just about worthless for mine now, Statesman, unfortunately. Maybe in your Supercoach formats you'd hang on to him, but I don't like it.
Just a player you watch, mate. Just a player you watch.
Yeah, I've got him in the keepers, and I don't think I'm dumping him, but he's certainly not going to be seeing any time on ground anytime soon. And Liam Shields, man, what can I say? Really disappointed about Liam Shields. I thought he would have taken a bump this year, but taken a bump in the wrong direction.
Is that Langford?
Oh, I don't think so, man. I just don't think he's doing it.
Fair enough. He was a better player when better players were around him.
Yeah. Not tagging as well, so just not finding his way around the ball. Just not finding the ball. Grant Birchall injured as well, so we'll wait and see what happens.
Do you know what?
Knee didn't return first quarter. We'll find out. But onto the losers. But Jack Viney played a hell of a game, man. Hell of a game. 15 tackles. Really did everything he could to lift this team over the line. 145 Dream Team, 123 Supercoach. Nathan Jones.
Sitting on my bench in, I think, three of my leagues.
Gross. He was fantastic, man. Nathan Jones turned it up, less in Supercoach because he was really butchering the ball going inside 50 when he tried to do that. Sam Frost actually played a really good game, a lot of runoff half-back. John Lewis kicked a couple goals. Jesse Hogan kicked a few goals. Cam Peterson scored pretty nicely, as he will do in the ruck whilst he's there. Tom McDonald continues his form. The man I want to talk about, Michael Hibbard. 27 touches, only 73 Dream Team and 56 Supercoach, and the bulk of that was in the first half again, like it was last week. Now, Michael Hibbard almost made the dozen deals column this week as a big sell candidate. I'm very worried.
Yes, only look at Essendon and the Wall, which I think John Worsfold claimed. Probably people criticise, but it's actually true. You're out of footy for 12 months. It takes a fair bit of time. You're out of footy for 12 months, and then you miss the majority of the preseason because you're injured. it's not going to spell well for you. Quality player, I think he'll do okay, but he's not going to be the AFL fantasy star we expect. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that turns a little bit with Essendon, but this is a fast, furious game. You need to be prepared well for it, and it takes time. And every preseason's the same. We all get excited about scores at JLT. Structure's the problem with the scores at JLT. Form isn't. So, in other words, you had a really good preseason. Mark Murphy is a classic example. He's been injured for, what, 5-6 years on the trot, has a good preseason. Look what he's pumping out. It's a classic example. You can't say that for the majority of those Essendon players that have come back, and you certainly can't say that with Michael Hibbert.
No, I think now's a great time to sell, especially given his average is probably still going to be relatively high from the first match, which was just one out of the box. Obviously, first match up, it's his grand final. Second match, he was still fine. But again, that score was built in the first half and really tapered off. This week, it's just down even more. His Supercoach score, I will say, was affected by five clangers. A few at the end in really crucial times too. But
And I will say he's hurt a couple of my defender gems in Christian Salem and Neville Jetta just through structure, unfortunately. So Hibbard, I think, will still score in the 70s, but he's not a top-ranked defender like we were hoping he was going to be.
No, I don't think so. And that's what I'm saying. His average is still probably in the high 80s at the moment. So I'd be looking to sell.
Fair call.
And the last game
moving
was
on
Freo
to the next
and Essendon.
Game and the Dockers hitting their third win for the year. No surprise. We just talked about that fatigue issue. It was a hot day over in Perth. I think it was mid to high 20s. Essendon started extremely well, out of the blocks, leading at halftime, but just ran out of juice. Fremantle were all over them from there on in. They took a fair bit of time to get that on the scoreboard, but they just had more run. And that's the effect of going through with all those players having the 12 months off. Don't panic, Bombers fans. It will improve. And the kids that are getting so much game time are only going to be better for it next year. I would expect that the Bombers just explode from nowhere next year. And I would actually, if smart money would say, they even be looking at top four. Fremantle Dockers, Bradley Hill's got to be one of the best forward pickups this year, because no doubt you would have got him from round 15 onwards. Some of them would have got it in the late 20s. Bradley Hill, 159 Dream Team, 118 Supercoach. Remarkable. And the man is back. I did say anyone with the name Lockie and plays for Fremantle, get him in your team. Lockie Neal, 138 Dream Team and 147 Supercoach. Lockie Weller wasn't that big this week, only 67 for him, but still played a good footy. Nat Fyfe, a little bit lower, 95. Tabernar's one to watch. We've been waiting for him to become a good footballer for quite a long time. Now, whether this one's just one out of the box or this is the way he's going to start playing footy, but 107 and 119 for four goals, one incredible effort, nine marks. Lee Spurr played well. Shane Kirsten played well. And the young superstar, Connor Blakely, get all over him, especially if Nat Fyfe moves over to St Kilda for $1.5 million. Connor Blakely is going to be a AFL fantasy superstar scorer. Over to the Bombers. Obviously, the one Jet scored like a Jet does. Zach Merritt, 133 Supercoach. The rest start a massive decline. There was no one else tonning in AFL fantasy. Three more tons in Supercoach being Joe Danaher, who, would you believe it, did not miss a goal this week. Three goals straight. Also, Michael Hurley played a magnificent game, 115 Supercoach, and Dyson Heppel, 103. Not too much else to write home about, to be quite honest with you. David Myers got picked up in quite a few drafts waiver-wise, sorry, should I say, only scored the 41, so it would have been quite disappointing for that. And I think the older players, as we said at the beginning of the year, they've gone past it. So you're talking Stanton, unfortunately, 61, and James Kelly, 53, including one absolute clanger, which gave Fremantle another shot at goal that might have created the sealer.
Yeah, I'm a little bit interested in Darcy Parrish, but I had some big raps for him this year, and he's just not finding it that easy.
Yeah, and I think second-year blues is a real thing. Only the very, very elite pass through that. And also, his roles had to change a little bit this year. He was sort of thrown in the deep end last year with some of the guns out. He's had to work around then. He's just getting less opportunities in the right position where he's going to get only 69% game time this week. And it's probably pretty much what he's been getting around that 70. And it's not until they get the 80 to 82% that you start seeing the true scoring. So I think on points per minute, he's still averaging around that 80 if he was getting the right game time. So I don't think that's too bad in second year. I think he'll be one of those big improvers next year.
Very interesting. It's interesting, Michael Hurley is the one who's come back and been the consistent form guy. But I guess he's in his prime years, isn't he?
Less run. Yep, and less run required for his role too, to be fair. It's more of a strength base, not a, you know, legs base.
Sure. And that wraps up our review for this week. Pretty interesting stuff. Statesman, did you have anything else you want to touch on?
Yeah, just obviously it's a bit of a change of format. We spend a fair bit more time talking about real footy today, which has been fun and interesting. So if the listeners really like that, if you could just give us a little note, hashtag no more Jono.
It'll be trending within the hour, I'm sure. One of the things I love to do, Statesman, I love to strample things. I love to throw them in the ring, Robert Walls, put the and say, you in the middle. One of my favourite movies, and this is probably one of Jono's favourite movies as well, is Shooter with Mark Wahlberg. Probably not your...
Yep,
not
it's a
your,
ripper.
You enjoyed it?
No, I quite enjoyed it, yep.
I thought you would have been more into, you know, La Vie en Rose or something like that. But anyway,
no.
You stoop to
Pino
our level.
Pino and a bit of death. Pino and a bit of death is good.
You stoop to our level with Shooter. Love Shooter. But Shooter's made a TV show, man. I didn't realise this. Jono told me about it. But ended up catching the first episode and lasted about 20 minutes. Just sullied the good name of Shooter, the movie, Ryan Philippe, convincing no one of anything. Just a horrible, horrible situation. Can't believe they did it. Strampling you, Shooter, at the TV show.
Why would they make... I mean, Shooter was a decent movie, but it's not one that you go and have a sequel. Is that fair? They shouldn't have Shooter 2.
Well, they shouldn't have Shooter 2, but they shouldn't try and make a goddamn TV series out of it. That's the problem.
Why would you even, why would you consider having a TV series of something that doesn't even deserve a sequel?
Because they have no ideas, I guess. Oh, by the way, we gave someone a correct tip this week on who to play, which is amazing because I think everything I touched this week turned to doo-doo. And they've promised us a pineapple cruiser, I think. Pineapple breezer, something like that.
Oh, okay. Alcoholic beverage.
An alcoholic beverage.
It's not a Pinot.
It's not a Pinot. It starts with a P. It's got P-I-N.
Oh, okay.
I thought that might be your scene. You might need some more tropical, something tropical to boost your spirits heading into a nice Hobart winter.
No, I'm heading interstate this week. So, sorry, listeners, I'll be away for the next two shows because I'm searching for the sun.
So hashtag no Jono has turned into hashtag. If there was no Jono, it would just be me. And we've done that, and it was horrible.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's just me talking for 35 minutes straight. No one wants that.
Well, that's true. That's true. I was going to mention something about MJ seems to be able to pull that off. I don't know if you can, Steve.
Yeah, but he's entertaining and lively. I'm just sullen, sullen and beaten down from life.
And bitter.
And super bitter. But that's all the show we've got time for this week. Like I said, rate and review on iTunes. Follow us on social media. Hit us up with a question, and we'll be back on Friday morning this week. It'll be in your device if you subscribe when you get up to go to work or school or whatever the hell you do on a Friday. If it's like me, you go play golf and blow work off. But there'll be no Statesmen. So we'll see you next time.
Hashtag no more Jono.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.